But this morning we have a very important question. And we have two people that you're very familiar with. And what you learn is when you come to a crucial time, or it may be a painful experience, it may be a crossroads in your life, whatever it may be, finding the right answer is always important, but even over and above that often is asking the right questions. Self-questioning is an essential ingredient in life. It is the water that keeps the clay of your life from hardening into something forever rigid and unchanging. So the ability to ask the right question, and Jesus says, asks of me, because often to refuse to ask honest questions, to look at ourselves, to try and get outside looking in, can sometimes shut ourselves off from the very revelation that God wants to give to us. And he says, ask of me. And often it's simply the right question at the right time, at that crossroads or that painful experience, where God can then speak into that openness and propel us into the next season of life. So in Mark 10, Jesus is approached. If you've got the text there, we're going to start with verse 35. And what I want you to particularly note is as these two come to Jesus and they approach him, they ask this question, what I want you to see is this. Look at verse 35. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we asked. Jesus asked, here's what I want you to note. What do you want me to do for you? Ask of me, Jesus is saying. They replied, let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory. Jesus said, you don't know what you are asking. Can you drink the cup that I drink or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? In other words, Jesus is saying, can you share in my faith? Can you share in experiencing the suffering and death that I'm about to face? That's what he's referring to. So what's their answer? We can, they answered. Jesus said to them, you will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with, but to sit at my right or my left is not for me to grant. Those places belong to those for whom they have been prepared. Tells them. When the ten heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. Jesus called them together and said, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. See, Jesus is the perfect example of servant leadership. What he is saying is that we are to be servants. We are to have servants' hearts. That is indispensable. Undeniable, we should and always be a servant. Leadership or the positions of leadership can come and go, but being a servant, as Jesus was saying, that is his very nature, is something of who we are to be. And so that's what he's trying to get across to him. And we've been through this series, and come to me and remain in me, and this morning now ask of me. And what makes this passage interesting this morning in Ask of Me is the people that came to him immediately had this request of what to ask for. And so what I want to give you this morning about this passage is some observations about James and John, and then applying this passage to us, to our lives being in Christ today. And what I want you to see first in this passage, you'll notice in verse 35 there, James and John were immature. It's obvious they were immature because look at verse 35. They come to Jesus, they say, teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. In other words, James and John, they come to the Lord and they say, Lord, we've got to ask you a question, and we just want to tell you right up front that we really want you to do what for us, whatever it is that we ask. You ever done that? You ever come to Jesus and ask of him and say, Jesus, I've got the question, I've got the answer, and now just repeat after me. Now, you guys are too spiritually mature for that. But it still happens today. We go to Jesus, we ask a question of him, we already know what we want, and we just want him to do it. Here's the second observation. It's amazing to me that Jesus is even open to this. James and John come with a proposition, a question like that, even though Jesus realizes they don't have a clue. He realizes the immaturity of the question itself, but he still looks at them and he says, what do you want me to do for you? Well, here's the third observation. They already knew what they wanted. So Jesus asks a question, what do you want me to do for you? And then verse 37, look at this. They immediately spit out the answer. Let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory. So they knew what they wanted. Here's the fourth observation. You see, the trouble with that request was they didn't know what price went along with it. They didn't understand what was involved with the very question itself. And what they didn't realize that there was going to be a major price involved in the answer of that question. In fact, it's even implied in the scripture that Jesus is basically saying to James and John, I am already on this path. I've already walked a long way down this path. Obviously, he's thinking of his death when he talks to him about the baptism and the cup. And he says, I'm already walking a long way down this path, and you know what? You too are going to walk this path. You don't have a clue right yet what's involved in the question, what's in store for you, and how it's going to be answered. If you did, you wouldn't be asking it of me today. That's the fifth observation. They thought they could pay the price. Isn't that interesting? Notice in verse 39. So quick, so assured. We can't. And so all Jesus is saying in this passage here is that the cup represents, James and John, what I want you to get is the cup represents that I, Jesus, accept God's will for my life, even though I humanly don't want that. What did he say in the garden? Lord, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. On the human side of it, in that human proposition, there was a time when Jesus said, I don't want this. I don't want to have to go through this. This is God's will for my life, and humanly, my emotion, I don't want this. So there's this amazing amount of maturity in answering this question where Jesus, regardless of what is really being asked of him, he says, wait a second, can you drink the cup that I drink of? Can, in other words, James and John, can you accept God's will for your life even if it's exactly not what you want to happen? Can you accept God's will for your life, even if it's not what I want, God? I will obey it. That's a tough question. So James and John ask this question. Jesus speaks of his death. And what's interesting in this passage here, and you know your Bible history, here's James and John saying, yes, we can do this. And what happens? James is the first of all of the disciples to die. He dies a martyr's death. He has no clue when he said, could I sit at the left hand and my brother John here sat at the right hand? He had no idea that it would be just a few years later that he would die this martyr's death, that it would become a reality in his life, this very question and the answer that Jesus was giving in response with his question. He would be the first to die, And his brother John, who is here asking this question, would be the last of the disciples to die. It's kind of like God is giving us this full spectrum of his will here, these bookends, if you will, of the closest followers of Jesus Christ, because they're asking, sitting at his left and right in the glory, and one is the very first to die, very soon from this point, and the other is the very last to die. But that leaves the rest of them. Look in verse 41. Probably the most human part of this passage of Scripture. When the ten heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. Now, were they indignant with James and John because they were so upset that here's two guys, they're one of us, they're so immature, I can't believe they're asking Jesus a question like this? No. The rest of them are so mad at James and John because they know that they beat them to the punch, that they're going to get the best seats. I can't believe we didn't think of this and ask of this. I want to sit on the left side of Christ. I want to sit on the right side of Christ. Why didn't we think of this? You see, they were no more mature than James and John. And so this whole story, this whole picture in this passage is of people who ask something of God, and they don't understand the whole process, the big picture that is involved, either in their question or the answer that God gives them, which brings us to another observation. Jesus shows them the right attitude. They have this question posed. Jesus even pushes back, and they still kind of blindly, immaturely push back and say, yes, just give us what we want. But then Christ says, wait a second, let me talk to you about your attitude or your spirit. He's saying in the world of position, in the world of power, there are people, for an example, he gives the Gentiles, people in positions of authority, and they just love to lord that power and authority over others. And he's saying, that's not what's supposed to happen here. That's not what I want from you. He's saying, you are supposed to be servants of others. God is more interested in giving us the right answer than he is in giving us our way. So James and John come and they say, just do whatever we want because we want our way. And Jesus, in response, is saying, wait a second, I want you to understand the right answer, not get what it is that you want. And so in this story, they didn't get their way, but they got the right answer. They just didn't understand the question. So it wasn't what they expected to hear. It wasn't what they wanted to hear. But this is still how God changes you and I today. This is still how God speaks to you and I today. As we listen to him, and it may not be the answer that we speak, that we ask, that we want, and it may be tough for us humanly to do whatever it is that God asks of us, even humanly, if we don't want to obey that. But what this passage teaches us is that this is still how God speaks to you and I today and changes us today by listening to him. And what's most important is that we get the right heart and the right spirit and the right question, if you will. So apply that to wherever it is that you may be, whatever situation you're facing, whatever it is that you may be going through. And so every one of us has asked God concerning, and you fill in the blank, whatever the issue might be in your life. And when we ask God, what this passage teaches us is that we must ask of God in spiritual maturity. We must ask of God in spiritual sensitivity to understanding from him the right question. We must ask of God by spending time in prayer, talking to him, hearing that still small voice. So here's a few things from this passage that you and I can apply when we go to God, when we ask of him. First, pray, come to him with spiritual maturity and sensitivity, unlike what James and John were approaching the Lord with. And so first, you have to ask God to remove your personal agenda. James and John had a personal agenda. We want the positions of power. This is what we want. We're going to ask of Jesus, but before we do, we're just telling you, just give us whatever it is that we want. And so here's two guys that come to our Lord with this personal agenda, very simple. And what they're saying is, what God's Word is saying is, this is not how you come to God today. You don't come to God with your personal agenda, your axe to grind, and say, I've already given you what needs to happen. Now, repeat after me, Jesus, just make it so. You've already told him what you want in a situation or in your life or whatever it is, and you come to him and you lay it out and you just want it to come to pass. Now, that's very human. We do that. I'm not saying there's even anything wrong with that. But what I want us to encourage to do from this passage is instead of praying with a personal agenda and coming with the request for the answer we have in mind, we might come like Jesus is trying to teach them and say, you know what? I don't see the whole picture. I don't understand your way, God. I know you're in control. I know you're a sovereign God. I know I don't, with my finite mind, understand everything that's going to come to play. In fact, I want to get out of your way. I want you to work in this situation, but I want your will to be done. I'm more interested in being able to understand the right question instead of getting the answer that I feel is right. I want to come to you with the right spirit, the right attitude. That's what Jesus was getting across to him. The second thing, ask God to help you and I see the big picture. So James and John, they don't understand. They don't see the big picture. They don't know what's around the corner of the path they're on. And so they come to Christ and they have this question. If you're a hammer, all you will see are nails. And that's what was going on with James and John. They wanted what they wanted, positions of power and authority. They saw the throne of Jesus, and they wanted that, but they didn't see the cross of Jesus, because if they had, they wouldn't have wanted that. And I would encourage you, as you pray, pray that God helps you see the big picture. Not my priorities, not my preferences, not yours. But God, what is it that you want for me? What is it that you want to do for me? Don't be like James and John with this personal agenda where you don't see the big picture. But when we come to God, instead of that personal agenda and just wanting the answer that we want, try to see the big picture of what God could have for each and every one of you for the next season. The third thing, be willing to pay the price. First thing Jesus says, are you going to be able to drink the cup and be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with? In other words, what he is saying is there is always a price. And James and John, they didn't want to die. They wanted to sit by the throne with Jesus, but they didn't want to take the same path as Jesus. And what our Lord is still saying today is there is always a price. There's no such thing as a free lunch. And when you come to God and you say, what is it that you have for me? What is it that you want me to do? What is it in this situation? What's the right question, not the answer? We have to, like Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane, be willing to pay the price, whatever that is. Fourth thing, ask God to help you not become political. Now think of that. They really had this immature agenda here with this question, but what do the rest of them respond to? Oh, I can't believe they're going to get ahead of me. Oh, I can't believe they're going to get what I want. I can't believe we didn't think of that before they did. They're worried about the politics of it. And Jesus has to go into this lesson and say, wait a second. They missed it with the question, but you guys are missing it with your response. Another observation. Ask God to help you trust one another. That's what they needed as a group as they stood before the Lord in this passage And he still says today, we all need to have this trusting spirit for each other in the body of Christ. One for all and all for one. Ask God to help you trust one another. Not figuring out who's going to get ahead and who's going to get what, but coming together. In the sixth observation, ask God to help you serve one another. Jesus told them very clearly in the servant leadership example that if you want, and this referred to James and John's question, I want to be at the left and the right of you, Lord. If you want that, what you must do is become servant of all. And so still today, he comes and he says, you as the body of Christ have all kinds of different spiritual gifts and talents and abilities. I've wired you all up differently. Some of you have wonderful gifts of mercy. And it's a great time to minister those gifts to one another. So some of you have great gifts of faith. And it's a great time to point others to Christ. Maybe they've never known him, or maybe they're in a situation where they need to rely on him. And some of you have great gifts of exhortation, and it's a great time to encourage one another and build each other up. Some of you have great, wonderful gifts of intercession and just dynamic prayer life. And Jesus says, still today, it is a great time for you to pray for one another. So, you look at this passage. Jesus still today says, what do you want me to do for you? When you come to Jesus, this story teaches us first, come to him with sensitivity and maturity. And when you come to Jesus, just like James and John in this example, come to him with boldness and courage. Because he says now in his word that you can boldly come into my presence. And he says from this passage, this week, begin to pray to God for your situation, for others, with the right maturity, the right sensitivity, the right boldness, the right courage, seeking his leading, his direction, trying to understand the big picture and not bringing just whatever it is that we want in our own individual lives and in our lives as the body of Christ together. And he says, let's listen for the right question and the right answer, and not necessarily saying, this is what I want, please do whatever I ask. Let's pray. Father God, still today, you say, ask of me. And what a wonderful passage that we can glean out of the way that we are to approach you. Help us to get out of our human tendency, to already know what we want, to understand the situation we believe better than you, and to bring that question that we want you to answer in the way that we want it. Help us to know that sometimes it's more important to understand the right question instead of getting the answer that we want. Help us to understand that sometimes we humanly won't want to do what it is perhaps that you ask of us, and yet even in our humanity, we have to be willing to obey whatever it is that you say to us, even if we don't want it. Father, we thank you for Jesus, who was willing to drink that cup. Humanly, didn't want to, knew what was involved, but because of each and every individual here this morning, was willing to walk that path and die that death for them. We thank you, Father, that he was willing to be baptized with the baptism that he was about to experience, so that we could be baptized into him and be those new creatures in Christ and reconciled to you. And thank you, Father, that you still ask of us, that we can come into your very presence, and that you hear our prayers and want to answer them. Help us to understand the right questions, and the right answers. In Jesus' name.